We're going to look at this tonight. This morning I was trying to share with you about our harps hanged up down in Babylon. We were talking about that and over in Psalms 137. And talks about the fact that they couldn't sing a song because they're in a strange land. Their lives, other things had become more important. They had had their own fault. They were down there, but they were in Babylon and did not have that joy they ought to have because of their own living and their own way. But I pray that God will help us tonight to look at something here that will, I pray, help us. And my mind and my heart is moving toward revival meeting. And I'm concerned that we do everything we can do that God would have us to do to get ready for that meeting. And I don't want to just have a week of preaching, a week of singing and preaching. And I don't want just that. I want to see God really do something for us. And I believe God can do it. I know God has done it. I know God can and will do that if we'll let him and open our minds and hearts to it. So we're going to read out of Nehemiah chapter number 4 tonight and try to bring you the message God's laid on our heart. And I'll ask you a question in a minute, and then we'll try to deal with that. Three ways some people answered that question. Okay, stand please while I read at verse number 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. They got angry. They were upset about it and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst of among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence we shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore, and when he says therefore, what's gone before, we pay attention to it. Therefore, set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families, their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, shall and fight for your brethren and your sons and your daughters and your wives and your houses. We'll stop reading there for tonight and pray that God would help us to bring that please him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you tonight, God, for the privilege that we have to pray. Thank you for the singing of the songs, the choirs that sing tonight. God, I praise your name. And I do stand still amazed that you loved us and cared enough to go to Calvary and die so we could have life and have it more abundantly. I stand amazed at your grace and your mercy, love shown toward us down through the years. And Father, tonight I stand amazed in the fact that you're still able, God, to do what you said you'd do, and that you're well able to send revival and stir our hearts and help us. And Father, I pray that our harps not be hung up and our song not be gone, but Lord, the joy of the Lord would be our strength and that we may rejoice in thee. I pray tonight, God, for everyone present in this house. You know the need of every life, every individual. Our some is not here tonight that are away, and they're endeavoring, God, to work in an area of their lives and, Father, with their family. And I pray in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit of God would empower them and help them and encourage them. And I pray, God, you, Holy Spirit, do the work that needs to be done. We'll praise you and thank you. Then I pray for those that are sick and could not come and those that are in bereavement and sorrow. And Lord, we ask you to help them and those who've been through that recent days, that you'd help them. But then, Lord, tonight, I pray, Father, for those that ask me special prayer in their lives about situations that they are facing this week. I pray in Jesus' name, your will be accomplished and bring glory unto yourself. Then, Father, I ask you now to help us preach. I realize, Lord, I can't do that myself. I need that divine touch of God. I need the Holy Spirit to help me illuminate my mind, loose my tongue. And Father, over this house, I pray there be liberty and freedom of the Spirit of God to work, and that you speak to hearts, you bring conviction where it's needed, and draw unto yourself, then encouragement where it's needed, and the challenge where it's needed. And we'll praise you, and we'll thank you for all that you do. And we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory, plead the blood, claim the victory. In Jesus, amen and amen. You may be seated. Tonight, as we look at this scripture, we're thinking about this thought. And I said I'd ask you a question in just a moment. But what do you say about the work of God in your life, in the church? What do you say about the revival coming up? What's your thoughts? What are you saying about it? And they have gone back here and Jerusalem to build the walls. And we talked the other night about the fact that they was three times that they had decrees signed by kings in Babylon to go back and to rebuild Jerusalem, but two of them was for the temple, Cyrus and Darius and Tekras. He signed for the walls, for the city to be rebuilt. Here's Nehemiah in the midst of that. He's gone back to do what had been said to be done for Jerusalem and to rebuild and to bring back. And so he'd gone back for that purpose, but I find in these scriptures three things that are said about this work. And I believe those three things are said today. I believe they're said about the work of God. I believe they're said by us sometimes in our own individual life. I hope last one we're all saying about the work of God in our lives and in our church, and that we labor together and we see God do what he wants to do, to see victory and to see people get saved, folk get right with God, and have real revival. Can't, preacher, we can't have real revival. I believe we can have real revival. In any church, any people, individually we can. If we desire that in our hearts, want that, and believe God, we can have that. And it's up to us. God's still God. He's the same God yesterday and forever. And so he's well able to do that. But I'm thinking about these three questions, and I pray that God would help us as we think about them. Number one, it's a faithless remark that comes back. Look at verse number 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. The people that's bearing the burdens, they're tired, they're decayed, they can't handle it anymore. And then said, there's much rubbish. Said, we're not able to do this. We're not able to build this wall. That's not what God told them to do. God's told them to go back and build the wall. But now here's one answer that comes back to that question. What do you think about it? Why? And I'm sure they're thinking about the work that was going on there to build the wall. What do you think about it? And Judah said, we can't do it. It cannot be done. Doubt came in, and doubting the fact that, and they, what they was really saying, we can't. We can't. And some people's got that mentality today, and it works down in the heart and says, we can't, and church can't, and we can't see, see real revival, and we can't see people saved, and we can't see this, and we can't see that, and we just can't do it anymore. We can't bear the burden any longer. Let me say to you tonight, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, the ones carrying the burden may have been wore out and may have gotten tired and may have needed to sit down and rest a little bit, but God would give them strength to get up and go. You remember Elijah got under the juniper tree and sat down and went to sleep and needed to rest, and God let him do that, but an angel came by and touched him and gave him something to eat and told him to rise and eat, went and laid down again, slept, and then angel came back by and got him up again and said, rise and eat, and he went in the power of it for 40 days. I say to you that our God is able to send revival. He's able to revive my heart and your heart. He's able to help you spiritually. He's able to help me spiritually, what I need, what you need. He's able to do so. And here he's saying, and I got to thinking about this scripture and this particular verse about bearing the burden. And to have revival, it must be a burden to be born. And Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Sometimes we get the idea that we come to church and get blessed and go out and everything's fine and we bear no burden. To have real revival, it'll take bearing the burden. To see people get saved, it'll take bearing the burden. It may be some nights when that we don't sleep so good. It may be nights that we pray. It may be times that we find ourselves under the burden of it, that we can't stand it until we find a place somewhere alone with God and take it to him in prayer. I don't know that we know a whole lot about that in our day, but we need to learn more about it. We need to learn more about bearing burdens. About now, this thing in the Christian walk of life, you can have a song in your heart, and you can have your harp off the willow, and you can be making pleasant music, and at the same time bear a burden. I know there's people here tonight that bear a burden for their loved ones to get saved. I know there's people here tonight that has a desire and a burden about that. And let's don't try to get rid of the burden. Let's ask God to help us. Amen. Sometimes we pray that God would take the, and I do pray God get a hold of those unsaved and take their sleep and get them under conviction like that. But sometimes we need to ask God to help us, that we'll have the burden that we ought to have so that we may go the step further and maybe lose some sleep or miss a meal or whatever it is that God lays on our hearts to do, that we may get closer to God. And God dealing with our hearts, if we have real revival, it'll be us having revival individually and collectively as a church. But it'll start individually as we let God work in our hearts, God do what he wants to do. And if you said, I'm tired of bearing the burden, then that kind of knocks you out being involved in this thing. And so we still want to bear the burden, but have joy at the same time. That's possible. I don't know of anything else that you can cry and rejoice at the same time, but this thing of being saved and being right with God, serving God, letting God help us. And I say to you tonight, friend, we need God to help us. We need God. We need to bear the burden. We need to care. And here he said, the burden bearers, they're decayed. They've given up. Folk have thrown up their hands and said, what's the use? And if we're not careful in this day, as we look around us, we'll throw up our hands and say, what's the use? Why bear the burden? Why pray? Why ask God to do this? And nothing's happening anyway. And the lost are not coming. Unsaved won't come to church anymore. And we're not getting anywhere anymore. And we're not growing like we want to grow anymore, and we're not seeing what we want to see anymore, and so why bear this burden? Let me say to you tonight, I'm going to get to that part why in a minute, but I tell you right now, it is worth bearing the burden for to see God do something mighty. Amen. And it doesn't just happen because you have a preacher come in. Just because a preacher comes in, I don't care who the preacher, good to have good preachers. It's good to have a good preacher come in. That's all well and good and has its place. But I tell you right now, real revival comes from God. And God sends that revival. Amen. And amen. Boy, I miss Brother Pertell. You tell him I missed him. Amen. God, he'll amen you. If you say Jesus saves, he'll amen you and root you on. Amen. And so I don't be afraid. Say amen. I need him. I need all the rooting on I can get. Amen. I need help. I need all the help I can get. And I want to make sure you're with me tonight, because I want you to get this. And we need to bear the burden. Get under the burden. I know that's not shouting ground particularly, but it's true ground. It's right ground. And we need to bear that burden so that we might help others. And notice what he said, there's much rubbish. I want to stop right there and say, amen. He hit that on the head. And there was trash air. There was stuff air in the way. They had a lot of rubbish to carry off. And the burden bearers got tired of carrying it off. They had good stones to carry in and to put in there and build with, timbers to carry in and build with. And so they got tired, but said there was much rubbish. And rubbish wasn't what they was using to build with. It's what they's happened to get rid of. where they tore down the walls, where they had burnt the city and where it had been destroyed. And they had all that rubbish to get rid of and carry it off. You remember when these houses were torn down out here and how rubbish was piled up until they got it all hauled off? That was rubbish. And the walls was like that, rubbish. But I thought about that, thinking about revival. There's a lot of rubbish in our lives. Bible says, lay aside every sin and the weight which does so easily beset us and run the race with patience. These things in our lives that gets in our way of God doing what he wants to do in our lives. We have those things that be weights to us, may not be sin per se, but they're weights to us. They may not be wrong in themselves, but they become so important to us, they take a place of what is important. And God is important. This Bible is important. Prayer is important. Witnessing is important. Getting people to Jesus is important. Getting to church is important. All of these things are important. And we need to get rid of the rubbish in our life. And so I could park here for a spell and talk about the rubbish, but let God, the Holy Spirit, speak to your heart about the rubbish that's in your life. And it may be whatever it is, deal with it. And let God help you. It's worth carrying off, let me say that. The rubbish is worth carrying off. I don't mean the rubbish is worth it, but it is worth carrying off the rubbish. Because when you get it carried off and get it out of your life, you'll have more time for God, more room for God, and the things of God and revival in your heart. And so the rubbish needs to be dealt with. And so let's move on, else we get tied up in the rubbish and sink too deep in that. And so here's what Judah said. And he said, we can't do it. Just can't do it. He saw the problem. He saw this. We today would say we see the sin. We see the seeming unconcern. We see the seemingly despairing the people. We seemingly see the situation that looks like God can't do anything. And we just say God can't. God can. God can. I remember Brother Tommy Steele preaching that message. God can. Can God? God can. God can. We know that. But notice verse number 11. And our adversary said, now here's somebody else that said something. And they said, they shall not know, neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. Now the adversaries was against them and said, they're not going to do that. They're not going to build that wall. And you can rest assured tonight that the devil is saying, Gateway will not have revival. I'll see to it that they don't have revival. There are those that will say we can't, and there are those that says they won't. That's what the devil's saying. The adversary's saying they won't. And these people today say they won't. They won't pay the price. They won't pray. And they won't really get to it. They won't really have revival. And the adversary sat back and laughed while that's going on, saying they won't, they won't. I want you to turn back with me in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 10. Here's Sanballat, that one that was he was a half Jew, in fact, but he was against what was going on there in Jerusalem. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah, the certain Amorite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Said he got grieved, he got upset about it because somebody came to seek the welfare of Jerusalem. Look in verse number 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah and the servant and Amorite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing they do? Well, they rebel against the king. They made light of it. In verse number 1 of chapter 4, it says in the last verse, they mocked the Jews. They made fun of them. They made light of it. And look at verse number 2 in chapter 4. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and say it, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day and so forth? They just giving them a hard time. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? And that thing, what they've lost, what's been burned, will they do anything about that? Are they going to really help that? And so they're making fun and making light of them and saying they won't do it. They will not do it. And I'm sure when those burden bearers got tired, they were standing around saying, you can't do it. You won't do it. And so they tried that. You'll try to be discouraged. Anytime you set your mind and heart that you're going to get closer to God, you can rest assured you're in for a battle. The devil is going to do everything he can to keep you from trying to get close to God, keep you from learning more about God, keep you from getting in the Bible, keep you from getting on your knees, keep you from having revival in your own heart. He'll do everything he can to fight against that. And so they tried to interrupt that. They mocked him, ridiculed him, made fun of him, and so forth. Then they threatened violence in verse number 8. Said in chapter 4, and conspired all of them together to come to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. They threatened violence, even to fight against it and make it really hard. Then they tried being friendly. Look in chapter 6 and verse number 2. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. I believe Nehemiah, when they sent word to him to come meet me in the plain of Ono, he said, oh no, I'm not going down the plain. You see, what they want to do was talk about it, talk it over. And we got to decide if it's a thing we ought to do or not, build these walls. And Nehemiah knew that he was doing what God told him to do and what he had permission from the king to do and what he had the authority to do, and he's going to do it. And he said, oh no, I'm not coming down there and talk to y'all about that. Boy, today, religionists will try to get you to talk to them. And they'll try to get you to take time with them and think about this thing. Now, you're too old-fashioned down the great way. You holler too much. And sometimes y'all even let the Spirit of God come through and get to testifying and shouting and having run fits sometimes. And sometimes it gets out of the banks. And y'all too old-fashioned. Y'all don't have any praise teams, or y'all don't have anybody sing contemporary, and y'all sing them old songs, and get up there and cry sometimes, and do all those things. Brother McIntosh, isn't it good to cry sometimes? Isn't it good to praise God sometimes? I tell you, Sister McIntosh, here with other Sunday morning, raised her hand, got to shouting, praising God, mind me of the old time way, and I said, hallelujah, I like it, amen, shout away. And praise God and have a good time in the Lord. I say praise God for it. But here we see Nehemiah doing what he's supposed to be doing. And their adversary said, you won't do it. You just won't do it. We're going to mock you. That didn't work. And then they said, we're going to threaten you. And he said, by the way, and I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to take time for that. But at the same time, when he said God's going to fight for us, and I'll get to that in a minute. But at the same time, he put the families behind the wall. He put them up there and give them spears and weapons of warfare. He said, fight when they come and don't be afraid. Hey, sometimes you have to fight. Now, I don't mean with a fist. Now, I don't mean with a real sword. But at times you have to take the word of God and fight. There's times you have to take a stand. And there's times you have to say, oh no, we're not going down there and talk about this. We're going to do what God told us to do. And so here they sent that and said, oh no, I'm not going to do it. But look in verse number 5 of chapter 6. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time. This is the fifth time he done it. With an open letter in his hand. Now he's writing letters to him and trying to get him by the letters to get him afraid and get him to quit what he's doing and threaten him and everything else and talking about he didn't have authority and all that. We won't go into all that, but he wrote letters. And I want you to know the devil will do everything he can to discourage. I don't remember where Spurgeon or Moody, I believe it's Spurgeon one time or Moody, I don't remember, one of the old preachers yesteryear. He said one day he got a note in the offering plate and then handed it to him and it said, fool. That's all it said, fool. He said, I've got a lot of letters that nobody signed, but somebody signed this and forgot to write the letter. Amen. Fool. And he got the letter, but he certainly handled it the right way. So don't pay attention to what the devil writes you. And he may write you a letter. Amen. It may be not written with pen and ink, but he'll try to write you a letter and tell you, you can't have that in your life. You can't have real joy. You're not going to have revival. You're not going to see anybody you want to see get saved. You're not going to really see anything. I say the devil's a liar. Amen. And so the adversary said something, but look at verse 14. Here's where I really want to get to, and I won't spend a lot of time on it, but I just want you to get it tonight, because here's what we need to say. Some said, I can't, we can't do it. Somebody else said, you won't do it, but here's one said, we can do it. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Here he said, let me say first thing about this. He said, number one, the battle is worth fighting. It's worth fighting for. He said, we're fighting for our children. We're fighting for our wives and our houses. We're fighting for our land. We're fighting for what's ours. And let me say tonight, there's a battle raging for your children. There's a battle raging trying to take your children and take him out in the world and destroy their testimony and their lives. Ain't not a young person sitting in this house that the devil would not like to take you and mess your life up and wreck you and get you took out there somewhere and thinking about, well, I'll do my thing and I'll do what I want to do. You're not going to tell me what to do. Young people, don't you ever get that idea in your head. If you do, I pray you'll bump your head against a wall and knock some sense into you. Amen. And help you. You need some help. Hey, we don't need that. We need to understand that you got a mom and dad loves God and loves the house of God. You ought to thank God for it. Amen. Every time they get up and say, we're going to the house of God, say amen. And I know some of you don't have that to encourage you, and you have to do it yourself. But do it yourself and say, I'm going to the house of God and serve God and live for God regardless of what everybody else does around me. I'm going to live for God. It's worth the fight. It's worth putting up the fire. Hey, it's worth trying everything we got within us to keep it on, keep a fire burning and keep God around, keep God doing what he wants to do in our hearts and our lives. And moms and dads, not just our children, he's after you. He's trying to restore our life. If he can discourage mom and dads and get them to quit and get them to throw up their hands and get them out there and say, what's the use? And we can't have revival, then young people catch on to it and they'll fall in the same footsteps. But I want to say tonight, thank God, God can. I get back to that message, brother. Preached, amen. Can't even think of his name right now, but anyway, you know what I'm talking about. And he said, can God? God can, God can. Tommy Steele, I got it. Amen. He preached that one time, and I sat there and thought, praise God, God can. God can. God can. Preacher, can we see? God can. I can't bring it. Brother Chris Krenstead can't bring it, but God can send one. Amen. But God's looking for somebody that he can work through. Now, God wants to do what he wants to do, and God can, but God has chosen but to use human instruments. That means he chooses to use a preacher, and we need to pray for him. God fill him up. God give him what we need. God help him preach. Give him strength to preach it in, the anointing of God that he needs. And then we need to be open and receptive to it, that we may respond like God wants us to respond. And we need to pray about ourselves. And Brother Morris preached Wednesday night about worship. And we need to be worshiping God when we get here. Revival gets here. We need to be all ready and pumped up and not have to spend the whole week trying to get us stirred up about it, but bringing unsaved in and getting people here. Amen. Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. He can do it. Amen. Can God? I thought about this. God down in Egypt delivered them, Israel, out of bondage. Didn't God do that? God, by his mighty hand, brought them out. And then he led them by a fiery cloud by day and a fiery pillar by night and a cloud by day. God did that. Got them through the Red Sea, and it stood up on either side. And they marched through on dry ground. It wasn't even muddy. And went through on dry ground. God did that. Can God? God can. And go on the other side for 40 years. They wandered around where there wasn't any food, but God gave them food anyhow and fed them. And gave them water out of a rock. And God did that for 40 years. Can God? God could do that. Got over and marched over Jordan, had dried it up, and went through on dry ground. And then got over there, and Jericho's wall fell flat, and they took Jericho. God did that. Can God? God can. Amen. God, in days gone by, and this church has sent revival and stuff. Hey, by the way, let me just plug this in right here. It don't have to be Jubilee to have real revival. It don't have to be a certain preacher to have real revival. It just has to be God in us, letting God do what he wants to do. And God can do it, amen. Our God can. Jesus, knowing did that, he unstopped deaf ears, opened blinded eyes. He raised the dead. And then he took my sin, went to the cross and died, was buried, rose again the third day. Hallelujah. And Revelation 1:18 said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and death. I say glory to God. If he can do all that, he can send revival to us. He can help us. He can save my loved ones. He can save your loved ones. He can do what he said he'd do. Today, in our day, there's a whole lot of things that need help. A whole lot of people need help. Young folk need help. Parents need help. Grandparents need help. We all need help. But oh, praise God, I'm glad he's the one that can help us. Verse number 20, chapter 4, Nehemiah. In what place therefore you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. Now they were ready to fight. They had the weapons, and he had them set. But he said, you resort in our God to fight for us. Our God will fight for us. Well, let's see how this thing did wind up. Did God do it? Look in chapter 6 and verse 15 and 16. So the wall was finished. Hallelujah. So the wall was finished. They said, we can't. Some said, you won't. But Nehemiah said, God can. And we can by God's grace and help. God did. Look in verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in the 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen served that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I read where it wound up right. How'd it do that? Because somebody believed God. And somebody said, God can. God can. And others said, we can't. And some said, you won't. But Nehemiah said, God can. I want us to get in that attitude. You see, preacher, this is the 1st of October. We need to get in that attitude now. We need to get that attitude now. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for thy word, thy truth. Lord, I know that you can. So many times I look around and see the rubbish. And I see all that. The burden bearers being tired. Father, I many times fit into that crowd and I ask you to help me. God, to look beyond that where we say we can't. And then, Father, we got the outside and the enemies that say you won't. But, Father, help us all tonight to know that you can. Not only know you can, but to believe it and act upon it. Thank you for what you do. Now tonight over this house, you know who's here, who's lost, who's saved, who needs help, who needs to get right, who needs to bring the burdens to Jesus, who needs to do what they need to do. I pray your will be accomplished in Jesus' name.